From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Goodness and Severity of God. In the first two chapters of Romans, Paul demonstrated the guilt of the human race for their sins against God. However, the Jews argued that since they were God's chosen people, they could sin without the fear of God's judgment. But in chapter 3, Paul replied that God has placed Jew and Gentile on an equal footing with regard to their sin and guilt. God will judge everyone for their sins. The response of the Jews is still reflected in many when they're faced with the truth of the gospel. Yet unbelief of some does not negate the faithfulness of God. His purposes cannot be derailed by the failures of men. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Godly Stability. The text is found in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 20. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Stability in the fear and faith of God will make a man like a wall of brass, which no one can batter down or break. Only the Lord can make such, but we need such men in the church and in the world, but specially in the pulpit. Against uncompromising men of truth, this age of shams will fight tooth and nail. Nothing seems to offend Satan and his seed like decision. They attack holy firmness, even as the Assyrians besieged fenced cities. The joy is that they cannot prevail against those whom God has made strong in his strength. Carried about with every wind of doctrine, others only need to be blown upon, and away they go. But those who love the doctrines of grace, because they possess the grace of the doctrines, stand like rocks in the midst of raging seas. Whence this stability? I am with thee, saith the Lord. That is the true answer. Jehovah will save and deliver faithful souls from all the assaults of the adversary. Hosts are against us, but the Lord of hosts is with us. We dare not budge an inch, for the Lord himself holds us in our place, and there we will abide forever.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you. the objection to Paul. You're saying that the many privileges of the Jews have all been set aside, and that God has abrogated His covenant so that their unbelief has annulled the faithfulness of God. That's the objection. Now, Paul immediately answers, God forbid. I'm not going to say anything about that expression tonight. We'll deal with it later. God forbid. What he's saying is God will never break His word. Notice his answer. And this is a very good way to answer most questions that come your way. Listen, when anything, whether it's the objection of somebody on the outside, whether it's the temptation of the devil, no matter what it is, when anything comes as an argument against the truth of God to your heart, and it's put in these things that God is unfaithful, immediately put a period there. Draw a line under it. Take your stand and say, look, I don't have the answer to this or to that. I don't know everything, but this I know. God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar. If I have got to look every man in the world in the eye and say, you're a liar, in order to make God true, then I'm willing to do that. If I'm willing to discount every word ever written by any learned man who ever lived, if I'm called upon to dissociate myself and repudiate every philosophy and every teaching ever given in order to stand by what God has said, then so be it. Let God be true. Count on His truth. Later, Paul is going to return to this subject of Jewish privileges, and he's going to show them that far from abrogating his covenant, how far from God being proved unfaithful because of the Jews' unbelief, God, chapter 11, verse 2 says, hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew. God will be faithful to his word, and as we'll see when we get there, God will even use the unbelief of the Jew to further the purpose that He has for the spread of His gospel and for the application of His covenant. The proposition that Paul has here is a wonderful one. Something that I have only time to mention, and I hope that every Christian here will get a grip of it and never let go of it. Your assurance depends on it. Your enjoyment depends on it. Your happiness depends on it. Your soul depends on it. Nothing can change the purpose and the promise of God. Though all men lie, He remains faithful. Do you remember what Balaam, the old false prophet, had to confess? When he was called upon to curse Israel and he couldn't do it, he gave us his reason. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He says in Malachi 3, I am Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What Paul is saying is this, God will do everything He has purposed to do. I want you to understand that. That's what's nowadays called a very Calvinistic statement. It's not. It's just a very biblical statement. God will do everything He has purposed to do, and God will do everything He has promised to do. You can stake everything on the absolute faithfulness of God. And see the bigger picture here. The failures of men cannot derail the purpose of God. The unbelief of men cannot disannul the covenant of God. The faithlessness of men cannot undermine the promises and the purposes of the gospel. God is going to do all that He has said. Paul later explains that even those things which appear to men to overthrow God's faithful covenant, here's a mystery, are actually included in his eternal decree. And he has this wonderful statement that I will only state. It could be a long time before we get this far in Romans. He does so that his purpose according to election might stand. I want you to get that picture of the Lord in your mind tonight. I am sick, sore, and tired of the inane little pictures of a powerless God that are being projected from pulpit after pulpit. A poor little God who would do so much if only he could. Who would accomplish all sorts of things if only we would allow him. Poor little God who depends on you and me so much that without us, his hands are practically tied. Let me tell you, it's all the fabrication of the devil. I am glad that the Lord says, even of a donkey, I have need of him. And he has need of you and me. Not because of any want in him, but because of his grace in using vessels of clay. And why does he do that? Paul says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. As Mike Barrett likes to point out when he's calling me one of those earthen vessels, just an old clay pot. I think it's the shape he's talking about. God likes to use old clay pots. Why? That the excellency of the power might be of God and not of man. That man may not admire the vessel, but the contents. That the glory may not come to the servant, but the master. His purpose, according to election, will stand. And Paul is introducing that truth. Do not question ever the faithfulness of God. And what Paul is saying is, if my gospel contradicted the faithfulness of God, then my gospel would be a lie. For the faithfulness of God is beyond dispute. And then we come to the third question, and that questions the faithfulness or the fairness of God, and that's in verses 5 through 8. We could imagine Paul saying that to what I've just said, I know that many raise an objection. And they did. Here's the objection. If the Jews' unfaithfulness shows off or commands or sets in a better light, in a clearer glory, if the Jews' unfaithfulness shows off God's faithfulness, if our unrighteousness commands his righteousness, if our lie allows him to set forth his truth in all its pristine purity, then how can he find fault with us and judge us? Now follow the argument here, for it's certainly what you would call sophistical. If the end, that is the glory of God, is good, how can God condemn the means that achieve that end? If my sin is the thing that shows forth the glory of God, either in his pardon or in his judgment or his righteousness, how can God find fault with me for my sin? After all I'm doing is showing forth the glory of God. Surely the end justifies the means. And if that's true, the objection is, we cannot be headed for judgment as you, Paul, have said. Now what's Paul's answer? If our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? And immediately he puts in, I speak as a man. It's another word. Paul is saying that this thing is so outrageous, even to put in the form of a question, an objection or a false conclusion. It's so outrageous even to speak the words, I have to put in this disclaimer. And again, God forbid, for how then shall God judge the world? Here's Paul's argument. Or Paul's answer. It's an argument he's going to have to face in one form or another many times. Another form of it you'll find at the beginning of chapter 6. But just for now, here's his reply. He said, the end justifies the means. That's your doctrine, not mine. You accuse me of teaching that. You're the people who teach it, and it's blasphemous, and those who teach it will be damned. I don't want to get off on a tangent tonight. You know me, I don't like doing that. But if that's true, the whole Jesuit movement is a movement of damnation. One of the fundamental tenets of Jesuitry is that the end justifies the means. And in their history, it has justified mayhem and murder. But Paul says, whose end is to be damned. The end never justifies the means. But Paul says it's also a foolish doctrine. Now follow him to the Jew. He says, you're really proving too much. You believe in God's judgment for sin. It's just you don't believe in God's judgment for your sin. Are the Jews really any different from the rest of us here? They believed in the damnation of the Gentiles, but not the damnation of the Jews. They believed that God would judge the Gentiles. That's why Paul starts chapter 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. These Jews were saying, Paul, you're dead on. When what you say about the Gentiles is that God is going to leave them without excuse, and God is going to judge them, and God is going to move in upon them, and their end is to be burned and all the rest of it. Paul, you're right. We agree with you. As long as it's somebody else's sin, I'm quite happy to believe that God will judge sin. That was their position. And Paul is answering that now. He says, you expect God to judge the heathen. But take your own argument. If you're telling me God can't find fault with us, for if you say we're unfaithful, well, our unbelief has only proved his faithfulness. So he can't judge us for bringing about his glory. The end justifies the means. But wouldn't the same thing be true of a Gentile? Doesn't a Gentile's lie set forth all the more clearly the truthfulness of God? Doesn't the impurity of the Gentiles commend all the more greatly the purity of God, the righteousness of God? So Paul is saying, by your argument, God couldn't judge anybody. And that's the meaning of this statement here. How shall God judge the world? By this argument, God couldn't judge anybody. He says, now who's denying the Bible now? Do you remember when we started chapter 2, I went through the scriptures showing you right through the scriptures how that the teaching is God will judge all men according to their works. Paul knew those scriptures. The Jews knew those scriptures. They were simply ignoring them. So Paul's argument, and they would understand it very clearly, is who's undermining scripture now? You're the ones who are telling me I'm contradicting scripture. I'm contradicting the teaching of the faithful promises of God, etc. But who's undermining scripture now when you've come to a position that really says God cannot judge anybody? But he is going to judge. He'll judge the world. And he'll judge you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.